audio quality has always been something that we have been improving on. But this week, we had some technical issues which came up which were out of our control. So you should expect this week's show to be less than the usual quality you are used to. There were two items which added up made this week's quality less than what we expect from ourselves. First, Randy is out of town this week, taking some personal time. So Ethan, our head of software, stepped in and helped me balance some of the audio. But neither of us have Randy's magic touch, so needless to say, we did our best. The second factor in the low quality of this week's audio is the fact that Sumner and I both shared a microphone while we recorded. This is actually the first time in Talos of History where two people use the same microphone. This reduced the amount of individual control we had over each person's audio. So, if your ears tend to bleed easily, you have been warned. We will be back next week with a very special live tech podcast, which will be hosted on the Talos of Tech Twitch page next weekend. Follow us on Twitter to get the details of the live stream, but as always, you will be able to listen to that stream later on iTunes. Thank you for sticking with us this week, and without further ado, here's the show.
Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen, and today we have a very special guest. First of all, we have Nick Ann Sweeney. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
And why don't you introduce the audience and myself to your friend who we've brought on today?
Yeah, well, I'm very pleased to announce that I'm bringing on one of my longtime friends, Sumner Evans. He and I have been friends for, gosh, over 10 years now. And we've been apple sheep together, and then he left the family, and so we're going to come get his
opinions still friends.
On that. Yeah, we're still friends some days.
So how's it going, Sumner? How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, of course. No, you sounded interesting as Dick was describing you. So
interesting.
You're into
good to know.
No, you're into tech in, I would say, similar but different ways at the same time that we are.
Right. Obsessive about different things.
Yeah.
For context.
So tell us. Yeah. Mostly, like, let's start with your ecosystem. What products do you use?
Yeah, so I'll start with a phone. I have a Google Pixel, the original Ooh. One that has a headphone jack.
Okay. It does. That's true.
My primary driver for a laptop is a ThinkPad T580.
Okay.
I also have a MacBook Pro, but I don't use that very often. And then I have a desktop computer that I built myself. Those okay. are kind of my...
the exact opposite of the usual folks we have on the show.
Yeah.
But we need to get some diversity of thought here.
Of course.
And then I have the iPad, which apparently I haven't updated in a while since it's still on iOS 11.
Oh, yeah.
Pro 1, right?
Yes.
Hey, yep. That's not bad.
Pretty
I
decent.
Can get iOS 12. So Nick tells me you're kind of into software development or coding, at least. How'd you
right.
get into that?
Yeah, so I started programming. I was probably about like 12 or something. Mm-hmm. I ended up working for a software development company during high school.
Okay.
So like
basically, he was a genius.
Wow.
And
impressive.
Then I have been studying computer science at Colorado School of Mines for the past 3 years or whatever. I'm getting my master's in the in May if I don't fail any of my classes.
Wow, master's. Nice.
So, yeah, that's kind of been my tech journey. And so computer science, obviously, is you need to be good with technology and good with programming, so
sure.
Yeah, and he's,
that's
he's,
interesting.
He's
so what coding languages are you most commonly using?
Python, C, mm-hmm. and well, so C++ and C is kind of depends on the situation. Those are kind of the main ones. I've been getting into this language called Racket, which is quite different than any other languages, any of the more traditional languages. Those are the main ones. I can write other languages, though.
So as you've become more on the coding side of things, and probably up to more like customizing your computer, and more specifically, because you said you built your PC at home. Has that changed what you two as friends talk about tech wise, or do you just not bring it up anymore?
I think he gets bored when I'm like, Sumner, did you hear about the new IMAX? Oh, and the AirPods too. They have an H1 chip. And like the AirPods are like amazing now. And now I bought them, and so I'm not broke.
You get like sick of that?
You know what? No, and some like okay, yeah. You know, Nick's all like, yeah, I'm so minimalist now. Like, I got rid of, like, the, you know, all of my 1 terabyte of movies. Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so great. Right. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, our friendship has obviously evolved over the years, and we've talked about tons of different things. We still like talking about tech. We still like talking about Apple products. By Nick more than I do, and I like trying to convince him that he like should think about other things besides Apple. And then
I tried Android. I'll give you that. 20 hours I tried it.
I'll give you that. Yeah, I mean, so it's difficult, right? Like, mm-hmm. on that point, to switch to, when I switched over to my Pixel,
mm-hmm. he came from an iPhone 5.
It took quite a while to migrate all of the stuff off sure. of a platform dependent ecosystem,
right?
So that I totally get that it's like not so fun. I definitely still miss iMessage.
Yeah. Well, that's my curiosity, because I tested that Pixel 1. I remember reviewing it a few years ago. And I didn't have a great experience with it, but my memory's not too good, because that was, like I said, a long time ago. So I'm kind of curious what features or what software made you more curious to try out the Pixel 1 if you were an iPhone user previously. What was like the driving force to want to switch over?
The main thing was the cameras is pretty good. Do like the Pixel camera a lot. I also switched because, well, I was on a 5S, so that was kind of getting a bit old. The battery life was kind of terrible. This phone has a form factor that I like. I actually like thicker phones. I know you guys are like, ooh, it's a millimeter thinner. I'm like, no. I would rather like it be thicker, because then it doesn't have the bulge on the for the camera.
Yeah, that's the one Pixel that doesn't have the camera bump.
Yeah, and honestly... Obviously, the audience can't see this, but, you know, I don't have a case on this, and I rarely have a... I never have a case on my phone, so I don't like when I set it down for it to rock.
Sure.
Or anything like that. As Nick's doing it on his phone.
I don't have a case on mine, and mine rocks.
So, honestly, it's not really that much that as far as software that I switched over to the Pixel 4, all of the apps that I use basically are cross-platform, right? So, looking at my main page, there's nothing that I couldn't get on iOS.
Okay, interesting.
And that's kind of been one of my sort of, I don't know if goals is the right word, but one of my kind of driving factors in how I make decisions about what software I use is I want to make sure that if like a hardware vendor just disappears one day, I would be fine. I'd be able to jump to a different platform and be perfectly fine.
I see. Okay.
So, for example, before I switched over to Android, I switched all of my photos off of iCloud and onto Dropbox. Since migrated from that because I don't like Dropbox, but
yeah,
that's a different story.
Well, that's interesting. That's kind of a rare but smart mentality. So you like to have like basically not all your eggs in one basket. You want to kind of have a foot in the door with as many tech companies as you can.
Yeah, and a more recent thing that I've been doing is trying to own more of my data. So I actually run a server for hosting my files and such and back that up manually rather than relying on Dropbox, for example. Mainly because I just, you know, you guys are like, oh, I got a new device. I got a new server. So
Sumner's excited. Sure.
Now, when you're writing all this code, is this being asked for by, you know, are you being contracted by different companies, or a lot of it just for fun or for freelance? Or
right now, it's for classes.
Oh yeah, for school. That's true. Yeah, forget about that.
So you know, the most recent code I've written was all for assignments. Everything from some GPU computing stuff that I've been doing for a parallel programming class to just implementing some cryptography type stuff for cryptography class. It varies widely with school. So that's been the main reason for me doing any coding over the past couple months. When I have free time, though, it's just side projects that I have. So there's, you know, when I see an inconvenience, I don't think, oh, I should complain about this on a podcast and hope somebody at Apple hears about it. Oh, I just script it up.
Ouch.
So you're a very hands-on, like, let me fix it. Like, let me handle the code, you know, let me tinker with it and I'll get it to work.
Yep. That is very true.
That's cool. That's ambitious. You probably have a lot more patience than I do for that kind of thing.
More than me, that's for sure.
I do actually enjoy the grind of having to figure out some, you know, how to implement something that I want. Quite frankly, you know, like a lot of times, the one thing that I think Apple does is they kind of just, they're really good at just identifying things that you might want. And so, you know, for example, who knew you wanted a nice dynamic wallpaper until Apple, you know, actually implemented that, right?
Right.
And so now I duplicated that in a script in 10 minutes, but...
yeah. So what OS are you using on your computers?
So all of my computers run Linux, particularly a distribution of Linux called Arch Linux, which is very minimal. You have to install everything yourself, basically.
Okay.
The installation process is non-trivial, to put it mildly.
Right.
But, you know, it allows me to really know what's on my system and customize it to how I want. So right now I'm, you know...
He's like in a terminal thing. Like his computer doesn't have buttons.
He's typing in terminal.
Yeah, no, it has buttons, okay.
Well, it doesn't have buttons. Look at it. There's like a bunch of green letters. It looks like the Matrix. Sumner's computer is the Matrix, everyone, okay? This is officially confirmed.
Nick sounds like a grandparent watching.
He's such a hacker.
He is such a hacker. So here's my question for you. I can assume why you don't use Mac OS, because it's very locked down and it probably doesn't give you that much control. But I'm curious why you choose to go with Linux and not Windows. Is there a particular reason for that?
Windows is terrible for development.
Really?
Yeah. So unless you're doing Windows development or developing in the Microsoft ecosystem for... they have their languages run on the .NET framework, which is... it's now open source, and you know you can run it on other platforms. But for the longest time, it was Windows only, and it's best supported on Windows. But I don't do any development in that ecosystem, so it's very difficult. For example, on Windows to do anything Unixy. So Mac OS is a Unix operating system as well,
correct,
or Unix based. So you can still do stuff like get on a terminal and do sane commands. That's not the case in Windows. So as far as why I don't use Windows, that's the main reason. It's just not good for development.
So compatibility wise.
Right. And a lot of the classes at school especially are like, yes, you need to make sure that this runs on Linux. You need to make sure that there's a, you know, the development that when they're grading the assignments, they can just kind of run a script or whatever, and you need to have a compatible environment for that. The reason I don't use macOS is exactly what you're saying. It's slightly too restrictive. It's a little bit more difficult to get some of the command line things working properly. It's totally doable. I have done it, and it's pretty reasonable.
It's just more locked down.
I mean, it is. I have a kind of peculiar window management workflow that I haven't found anything that works like that except for on Linux.
So do you
even have Windows? I'm looking at your computer screen now.
So like, basically, it's my window management is all keyboard based. So
wow.
You know, if I want to launch stuff, I just have some, you know, for example, Windows Enter opens up a new terminal. So that tells you how much I use a terminal, right?
So you don't even use a mouse.
Literal hotkey straight there for opening up a terminal. There's you know, I honestly use about three apps on my computers. You know, Firefox, a terminal, and a chat app. And I actually have Firefox is just perpetually opened. I auto start that, and then I have a shortcut for opening my chat app, and I have a shortcut for opening my terminal. So there's not really much else that I.
He doesn't like have a dock or anything. Like I don't.
So
know.
You don't want to use a mouse as much as possible,
right? I mean, I don't. I'm not opposed to a mouse. It's like I prefer to keep my hands on the keyboard because especially with coding and such, you're wanting to type and then you want to, you know, test something. You don't want to have to switch over to your mouse, do a bunch of things, and then switch back. It's kind of inefficient to move your hand back and forth.
Sure. That's interesting. They want to keep them there at all times.
Do you still use that alternate keyboard layout, Sumner?
I do.
Yeah, so a couple months ago, I tried to type something on his computer, and his A key didn't make an A on the screen. His S key didn't make an S on the screen. It was all backwards. I don't know what was going on there.
How does that work?
So I use an alternate keyboard layout that was made by another friend of mine at school. It's called 3L because it was the third layout that he made. It was actually his fourth, but he forgot about one of them. So he called it 3L.
3L, I guess.
And so all of the letters are in different places. All the punctuation is in different places. But the killer feature is that it has two extra layers. So how most keyboards, you know, you press shift and then all of a sudden your number keys become symbols and you have some other symbols, you know, like your question mark or whatever.
Sure. Okay.
In 3L, the quote key is a symbols layer. So if I hit that, it's like another shift, but all of the letter keys then become symbols. So if I want to type a dollar sign, I type quote and then what would be X on QWERTY. If I wanted to type a slash, that's quote and then A on QWERTY.
So basically,
and does that save time?
Yeah. So it's the quote key behaves kind of like shift.
But like
right.
You have to have that held down as you're typing out the symbols.
Aren't all the keys though mixed in a way so that, because you know when they designed QWERTY, they designed it to be very inefficient because they didn't want people typing super fast with the keys getting stroked or whatever.
Yeah, so
this one's more efficient, right?
It is. The home world was designed by a sane human being. unlike QWERTY, where the most common letters, for example, like so T and O are terribly placed.
Let me look
things
at
that you
now.
Don't ever need to type are placed in optimal positions, such as Z. Z is actually pretty easy to type, but nobody uses it ever. So there's lots of inefficiencies with how QWERTY is put together. So 3L is designed for alternation of letters. So it's a lot easier to alternate hands as you're typing than it is to...
I see.
So common digraphs in the English language, you know, two letters together are he tried to space them on different, put them on different sides of the keyboard layout.
Right.
If you look at the distance your fingers have to travel to type George Orwell's 1984 on QWERTY, it's about 11 miles or something. On 3L, it's 6 or 5 or something. So it's
miles.
Like as far as, you know.
Yeah.
Typing an entire book takes.
Typing an entire book.
Okay. Wow.
Interesting. That's an interesting measurement.
Yeah. So basically, no one can steal Sumner's computer, because if someone stole Sumner's computer, they wouldn't know how to use it.
That's what I was about to say. I was going to bring that up. It's like, it's kind of like driving a manual, because if someone tries to break in, they don't know how to drive it.
Yeah. See, the problem is this infection of this keyboard layout has permeated. There's probably about 10, 12 users of it at school. So if I leave my computer out at school, then it's kind of vulnerable.
Right.
There's enough people around.
they would know how to use it.
Well, they have to know like what's going on, because when you sit down and look at it, all of his keyboards still have a QWERTY layout.
Like, yeah.
They all look like a QWERTY keyboard, but if you type on it, it's definitely not QWERTY.
Is there a password?
There is a password.
Okay. But not as in, like, if someone was a top-down view of you typing in your password, they would be like, oh, okay, it's this letter, this letter, this letter, and then they would go up to it and it wouldn't be that. It would be something else.
I mean, it would be, unless the keyboard, if I change the keyboard layout back, right?
Well, if Sumner said, hey, my password is password, then if they went to type in password, they'd never get it.
It's interesting how you bring up tiny things like that, like the inefficiency of the QWERTY layout, because we probably all have that just because that's the way it has been, and no one would dare try to adjust it.
In fact, the inventor of QWERTY made a different layout that he thought was way better. You know, he threw QWERTY together fairly rapidly. He made a different layout, but it never caught on because of the 5 typists that had been using QWERTY. So thanks to the stubbornness of like 5 typists back in like that, I don't even know when, we have this inefficient keyboard layout.
Wow. It's not like we can change. Could you imagine if like Apple did a software update and the iPhone keyboard wasn't using QWERTY?
I mean, I don't know if it translates over to mobile, but there are third-party keyboards I think you can install on both iOS and Android. Is it possible to get those different layouts on a phone?
So I haven't ever tried, mainly because this layout is actually pretty bad for phones. Because with a phone, the auto-correct kind of depends on letters, like common letters being kind of dispersed throughout. And there's certain patterns where the distribution of the letters is such that it makes it easier to do those inferences. Oh, they typed like X, they prime at C or something, right?
Right. Okay.
And those are more difficult in a keyboard layout that is more optimal.
I see. Okay. That makes more sense.
I just use QWERTY on my phone.
Mm-hmm. Is that a difficult learning curve to be like used to a certain set on the computer and then go back to QWERTY on the phone, or do they stay pretty separate for you?
They stay pretty separate, mainly because the technique is entirely different. Thumbs is just totally
right.
The opposite of using both hands, all fingers. It was interesting when I was learning 3L, I couldn't I kind of lost my QWERTY ability on normal keyboards.
Oh, really? Wow.
I've since, you know, gotten that back because I've typed in mm-hmm. QWERTY. So now mm-hmm. I can type in both. The interesting thing was I could actually type in QWERTY on my iPad. I just couldn't type in QWERTY on a normal keyboard. And I think it was just some mental like thing where a different keyboard kind of brought back a different keyboard
trippy.
Layout. It was really quite strange.
Yeah, that the virtual keyboard would still be okay. That's bizarre. I've always thought the virtual keyboard on the iPad worked so differently because on a tablet your display and your input are combined, whereas on a computer they're separate. So it's really easy to look at an iPad keyboard while you're typing because they're right next to each other. You know, the text box and your keyboard are almost legit right next to each other, whereas with the keyboard and a computer setup, it's like they're separated. So getting good at typing on a keyboard without looking is a lot more important in that aspect, whereas typing on the iPad, it's not as important because you're right there. So who knows? Maybe that had something to do with it.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, even when I was like looking at the keyboard, though, on a laptop, I was still mm-hmm. struggling in QWERTY. So it was quite strange.
That would be really challenging, probably because your brain is just so trained for the different layout. So now you're running through two different kind of settings in your head as you're typing. You're like, no, that's not Q, that's this character, and that's not A. That's
actually, Q character. Is the only character that's the same.
No. Oh, okay. Never mind.
A, you picked the one.
<Q's>, that's just the first one. So we like that part of QWERTY.
Yeah, putting the Q in somewhere where nobody cares about it is a good idea.
Okay. Well, cool.
Special thanks to Shots Fired Reloaded for sponsoring this week's show. Without amazing sponsors like these, it's quite impossible for us to make this podcast. Shots Fired Reloaded is one of the best free 2D target shooting games in the App Store. Shots Fired Reloaded is a joy to use with its eye-catching 2D graphics and innovative gameplay. Play this game to complete multiple objectives and earn currency for use towards in-game weapons, upgrades, power-ups, and different theme packs. Shots Fired Reloaded will never get boring because each level is progressively more challenging, keeping you on the tip of your toes throughout each session. Stay motivated and compete with others by climbing the leaderboards to achieve the coveted highest score. Because Shots Fired Reloaded is completely free, the only thing you will regret is having too much fun. Tap the link in the show notes to get started having fun today with Shots Fired Reloaded.
So transitioning to more to consumer tech with smartphones and stuff and what's important for that for you, I know you have the Pixel 1, but what do you use for headphones?
Yeah, so I use the Audio-Technica MX50 mm-hmm. X for my over-ear headphones. I use those quite often, especially since at school it's kind of often loud and it's useful for kind of noise isolation.
Right,
I also have the Google Pixel Buds.
Oh, really? Okay.
AirPods.
How do like? I've never met someone who used the Pixel Buds. How do you like them?
I like them. The sound quality is pretty good. I'd say they're about equivalent to sound quality to the Pixel Buds. Good grief. To the AirPods.
I know what you mean.
The Pixel Buds are equivalent in sound quality to the Pixel Buds.
it's probably a safe assumption.
It has Google Assistant, so you can just tap the earbud and Google Assistant comes up, which is pretty nice. I don't use Google Assistant enough to make that a really killer feature for me, but you know, it's there and it's useful occasionally.
So like one issue I thought I would have if I ever did try the Pixel Buds is it looks like when you charge them, you have to like kind of wind up the cable in the case. Is that or does it kind of fall into place?
Yeah, the winding is a little bit annoying. You place the Pixel Buds down on the charging. I guess port kind of is the idea, and then it's only one wind around, and then you just kind of place the cord in between the two earbuds. And it's really pretty easy. It just way less seamless than a just dropping it in like with the AirPods.
Yeah, that was just the only holdup I could see with them. Plus, that they looked weird. But
like, I'm the Apple well, seat. I mean,
but
and the AirPods don't.
No, they do.
They but only look weird if you're
AirPods
broke.
have exceeded meme culture, so they've become accepted. As long as you got the waves,
they were on PewDiePie, so that's how you know they're actually legit now.
But so you said when you had the Pixel 1 that the headphone jack's pretty important to you. Is that still true even to this day? And is that going to affect like your next smartphone purchase?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge audiophile, but I'm an audiophile enough that I like running around with my Audio Technicas in a wired connection. So I really don't want to buy a phone that doesn't have a headphone jack.
Wow. Okay. So does that cancel out like the possibility of your next phone being a Pixel? Probably won't be. Wow. So
better get that S10.
Options. Yeah.
No,
options
I'm not getting a Samsung.
Oh no! What's wrong with Samsung? Let's hear.
The problem with Samsung is they like to put. They like to replace all the good Android things with their own bad Samsung version. So your messaging app, you'd have to get a nice one, you'd have to go and actually install the Android Messenger app rather than using the Samsung messaging app. They have their own web browser. They have their own apps. They have their own backup service. It's like an entirely different operating system. They should honestly just not use Android. The only reason I think they're using Android is because they don't have to do any kernel development then. So, and actually, I think as Google is moving potentially towards Fuchsia for their mobile operating system. For those of you who don't know, Fuchsia is an OS that they have been working on, which many people think will replace Android. I think that Samsung will continue developing Android and move away from Google.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. Like I just reviewed my Galaxy S10 and that OS experience compared to my Pixel 3 was so drastically different. It's hard to believe it's the same platform. So I almost consider it just like that. Samsung is in their own OS department. They just happen to have the Play Store. That's kind of how I compare to it. Like it's a totally different platform that has the same app store that Android does. Gestures were different. Apps were different. The feel of the UI behaved differently. Interesting to me that like you love the customization on your computer and Linux and being able to alter all that. But then when it comes to the smartphones, you don't want to like have to download all those Google apps.
I am extremely pragmatic on my mobile device. Like
it's a totally different experience.
I just want it to kind of do what I want and nothing else. And what I want is fairly limited. I want it to do it well and kind of stay out of my way. I honestly don't like using my phone very much.
Really?
Like even web browsing, what I'll end up doing is I'll just like, if I look at my Firefox tabs right now, most of the tabs are just tabs that, I want to read later. And so I'll just send it over to my computer and read it on there eventually.
I see. Yeah.
So let me get this straight. You're talking to your friends and you're trying to figure out where you're going to go for pizza that night. And instead of pulling out your phone, you get out your big gaming PC, monitors, your keyboard and mouse, and you get out and you fire that up to do some Google searches. Cool.
Yeah, see, that's those are kind of the times that I do use a mobile device, right?
Yeah, for the quick stuff.
The quick texting. If it's anything more than about three sentences, I'll just actually hop on my computer.
Wow, okay. Gotcha.
Can you text from your computer? Part. Have you set that up, or how does that work?
Yeah, so...
Oh, you can?
It's kind of a hack.
He just wrote a script in 10 minutes, you know, super simple.
Really?
So there's this interesting, so I use a chat platform. We kind of use it for some of the clubs on at our campus at Mines for communication. So a lot of people that I text with regularly are on that already. So I can just use that. It's a cross-platform application, open source and stuff. For those of who aren't on that platform, SMS messages come to my phone, but then I have this app that basically mirrors those SMS messages over to this other platform, which allows me to respond to them on my computer. And my typing speed is about 10 times faster there. So if ever I respond to a text in less than 30 seconds, it's because I'm on my computer.
Wow. Okay. Impressive. You can type real fast. I just like knowing next time I talk to someone, I could be like, well, I know someone who uses the Pixel 1 and they don't like using their phone. But no hate, no hate. I'm all for everyone using whatever works best for them. So, and I'm sure you've got what works best for you.
It just needs to be an iPhone.
I was telling Nick earlier, if Apple glasses are a thing. Oh, and by the way, it should totally be called eyeglasses. I hate their new naming scheme because it just destroyed the possibility of that. But anyway, if they happen, I will jump ship immediately. There's just no question.
Really? You're super into that augmented reality? If they slapped an Apple
logo onto the Google Glass, I would just buy it.
Really? Really? Wow. Were you interested in Google Glass when it came out?
If I had $2,500, I would have bought one.
So what if the Apple glasses are $2,500?
I would buy them.
Oh, really?
You know, Nick has his car-like...
Yeah.
Hey, I was told I'd get kicked off the podcast if I mentioned Model Y too much again.
It's an addiction. We're all working on it.
I think Apple would also do a good job with it. Like, I think they'd actually
with the AR.
With yeah, I think they would build something, which would be useful. You know, maybe they aren't as good at, you know, AI, and like they couldn't do the image recognition at the same quality that maybe Google could.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know. I just think it would be a really interesting, nice thing to have where like, oh, have a reminder and you can kind of see stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll just have to see. Like, if it's more than $2,500, I might be a bit skeptical. But
yeah, I think everyone will.
Yeah,
I think it very well could be. I'm guessing $2,000 if I was to place number on it.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever you want, Apple's going to go about 25% higher, and you're like, it's just right on the margin. I guess I'll do it.
That's been my mentality for a long time. Except I always say it's twice as much, because for me it was like there was all these rumors of the Apple Watch coming out, and I was like, if it was about $200, I think that would be a real hit. And then it launches and it's like $400. And I'm like, ooh, yikes. And it still ended up being a hit. So how do you feel about wearables or smartwatches?
I don't have a smartwatch on.
gasp.
I have, you have a regular watch, which is an Android Wear watch.
No, I use that one.
Life is kind of going south.
I see.
It's kind of a little bit on the older side, I guess.
Sure, sure.
I
didn't you have a Moto 360 or something?
I did have a Moto 360, and then I fried the screen on that. Moto 360 had a problem where the charger would fry the screen. So that was a good situation.
I heard about that. Yeah.
I was a victim of that.
Shoot. That's annoying.
I don't understand people who run around with these square watches.
You're
all in on the round watches.
Yeah, watches should be round.
How come?
I don't know. It's just a preference, but they just should be round. Like,
keyboards should be QWERTY, but you would have good backup against that argument. Yeah. So I have good backup for the square, which is that, like, the smartwatch is good at displaying not just watch faces, but also like text, which reads best left to right, you know, and having a square display that can display that text means that you don't have to cut off as much. So that's why I prefer the square, but I know that doesn't look as normal.
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly a personal preference. I just...
Of course.
Honestly, if Apple had released a round watch, I probably would still be on iPhone.
Really? Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Part of the reason why I switched over to Android, and I guess I should have mentioned this earlier, was because of Android Wear. Now, obviously, I'm not wearing an Android Wear watch, but like that was one of the things that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And the only wearable devices that were around are Android ones. So
that's true. Yeah, there was a big chunk of time there where it was just Android smartwatches, and now Wear OS, as they call it, has kind of died down.
They haven't gotten much recently.
I heard Google's working on the Pixel Watch. Would that pique your interest if that came out, or?
Yeah,
give it a shot.
I mean, it would. I've kind of done a bit of evaluation of whether or not I even need a smartwatch. Sure. Right now, the answer is no. The one thing that I do miss is being able to, you know, pause and play my music or whatever without having to pull out my phone.
I do love it for that.
Right, because they don't have a pause play button on them.
Oh, so. Right.
Okay. That's the only thing. Oh my goodness. Pixel Buds have them.
Oh, that's true. You got those there.
Dang it.
Well, that's it's fascinating to hear that other perspective. So I'm glad we can hear the opposite end of the spectrum now.
Yeah, you guys are like, oh, I'm so minimal. I only have 5 Apple Watches now.
6.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
To be fair.
You're right.
Sumner, Nick is not the average Apple sheep. I hope you know that. Nick goes above and beyond. We're not all like Nick.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure if I should take that as a compliment or not.
A compliment or a criticism. It's like a neutral statement that you are above and beyond a lot of Apple sheep. Like, I think Randy and I are still considered Apple sheep, and Nick still will like exceed us in ownership of Apple products or storage capacity.
Hey,
or...
I don't even own a Mac OS device.
Oh, did you sell that?
Yeah.
Did you sell your MacBook?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Sold it to Benji from Benobi Tech, but yeah.
Okay, you get a pass today.
Yeah. So I'm on iPad. I'm all on iOS and watchOS. Those are the only
two Apple OSs
I use. It was interesting.
So what's
Ethan was like, hey, can you install this IPA file and do like a little test on our app before we submit it for review? And I was like, oh yeah, sure.
How?
Yeah. We have a problem. I had to figure out how to get like Impactor working on a .exe for my Windows computer from work.
Oh, but you still have a Windows computer.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Still have a Windows computer.
Maybe you're not the Apple sheep we were expecting. Well, I want one last question for Sumner, and then we should talk about the website refreshes, which may not be as interesting to Sumner. But I know that there's listeners out there that are interested, and I know Nick is...
Yes. So. Nick is not excited at all. I think we can skip that segment.
Okay, cool.
Thank you. Okay, we'll clear that up. Okay, so Sumner, in regards to Apple as a company, what is, I would say, your biggest frustration or like your biggest problem with their ideals, or like just because we're very Apple-centered on this podcast. So I wanted to get your side's perspective of what do you think the fundamental flaw is with their stuff?
So I think the fundamental flaw is that their platform is just kind of not open enough.
Okay.
As far as, you know, you can do a lot of things with it. I think it works well for a lot of people, but if you want to push the limits of what is possible on the software side, you're not going to be able to do that with Apple. I also think that hardware in general is I know you guys like the keys that travel about 0 millimeters.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, that is not sustainable for people who type 12 hours a day. That's what gives you carpal tunnel. So I think that side of things as well has kind of disenfranchised me from the whole, like, I love the MacBook Pro lineup up until they changed to those new keyboards. Because
and you're not allowed. You're not alone.
and it just because I type so much, I need to have something that is tactile enough that I'm not feeling like I'm driving my finger into metal, which is definitely not good for ergonomics or anything.
Sure.
And so, you know, those it's kind of like small things. It's not like I don't think that the I think Apple will continue to be a healthy company. They aren't going anywhere anytime soon, as far as I'm concerned.
No.
But just for me, and in particular, the workflows that I need, it's just not cutting it.
Sure. And does it frustrate you as someone who works in the coding field and in software development and likes having all that kind of control over both the OS and the keyboard? Does it annoy you that there's a computer company that makes technology for people who don't know how to use computers?
No, I don't at all. And I think that's going to be a continued trend where there is going to be more and more of a gap between the devices needed by normal average users and those needed by professionals.
Sure.
And already, I mean, the computers needed by professionals vary widely. Some people need a massive graphics card. You know, they're doing something along those lines. Some people just need a bunch of RAM. It really depends, and I think that will only continue. And I think that the needs of kind of more consumer type personas are going to not grow as fast as the computing power that we can provide. So I think that there's definitely a spot for devices which along all that entire spectrum.
Sure. So I guess you're kind of saying Apple's OS and their hardware, it's not for you, but you can still admit that there's a market for it that should continue to be pursued.
Yes, for sure.
Okay, cool.
I don't want Apple going anywhere. I'm not I'm not anti-Apple. I just
I understand.
Me, you know, and I think, another concern I have as far as Apple with the pro market, I've seen a lot of kind of just this general within the tech industry of people being like, yeah, I don't really like that macOS is moving toward, or the Macs are moving towards these keyboards. I don't like the, you know, the touch bar. I need my escape key. I need.
Yeah,
Escape key's always there, Sumner.
I know, but it's virtual. Like it's really hard to type. And you know, so there's kind of I think Apple really needs to keep an eye on the fact that there's some really nice high-end laptops coming up from other companies now, which starting to pull away some of the pro marketplace. If they want to continue in that field, and I think they probably do. If they don't, then what they're doing is fine, but that's the one vulnerability I see for them right now.
For sure. And that's a good one, because you're not alone in that. I hear that complaint a lot. It's brought up on other podcasts I listen to with the keyboard complaint that people want travel and people don't want to type on those flat keys. I'm grew up with it, so to me it's normal, but I can completely see that it's a valid criticism for a lot of people. But what's funny to me is the MacBook line or the Mac line in general, a lot of people say is more, well, I guess I would focus more on the MacBooks, not so much the desktops, but the MacBooks feel more aesthetically focused and not as functionally focused with the lack of ports and the lack of specs for the price. Whereas I feel like almost the iPhones are the opposite. they're almost focused more on the CPU speed and the function of the design compared to other phones. Like, because I just finished reviewing, like I said, the S10, and that phone's beautiful, but I'm constantly setting off the display because of the edge curved displays on it. I'm setting that off, and the camera hole, while it looks smaller and less intrusive than a notch, once you turn the phone and use it in landscape, you realize that the camera hole required the cameras to be closer to the center of the screen than would a regular notch. So it's actually getting a little bit more in the way because they just wanted to cram more pixels behind it. So to me, it's like Samsung in that department is less focused on the function and more on the aesthetic, whereas the iPhone, you know, the bezels are thicker, but they're thick enough so that you're not setting off the screen as much, so that you can still pick it up and comfortably not trigger anything. And the CPU speeds are incredibly fast on like the iPad Pro and the iPhone. It's just funny to me that those are so backward. But yeah, that's
interesting. Yeah.
So Drew, I see you're holding a red 10S Max. Can you tell me about that?
I'm not, but nice observation, Nick. Yeah, so do you want to talk about the website refreshes now, Nick? We saved the best for last.
I mean, I've kind of been sitting here for the past hour, like, you know. Who cares about key travel, Sumner?
Yeah.
I care about wireless charging AirPods, too.
Well, you're such good friends. I just wanted to get to know them better, that's all.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So now we know each other better.
I don't understand, like, oh, no. I have to spend a second plugging in a cord instead of like just setting it down. Like, I don't know. I think.
Oh, we got no time for that. We got no time for that. We got to write 1984 in 6 miles. We got to plug in our AirPods. It's less distance. So we had 3 big website refreshes this week. What did you think of them, Nick? Were you excited? Were you disappointed?
Yeah, so I was excited about some things and disappointed about other things.
Okay.
I've never been so hyped about Apple. Like,
really?
I think even the Apple Watch.
That's saying something.
I know. It is. So it's such an ingenious idea, too. Okay, so for all of you guys who were living under a rock and didn't realize what was going on, so basically Apple released one product each day for the first half of this last week.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we were all on edge. And it was really interesting.
We didn't know what was going to happen. Yeah.
Every single other product launch in existence, they always just put all of the products together, you know?
Yeah.
If this would have been one refresh, we would have gotten AirPods 2, iMacs, and new iPads. That all been on one website refresh. It would have taken up one news cycle. One day, it would have been over, and we would have been talking about the notch on the iPhone again. But
back to normal.
Yeah, but because Apple decided to kind of space it out, I think it was really interesting, especially since we've never seen it done before. Like, so first day on Monday morning, we all woke up and like the website mysteriously went down. There wasn't too many leaks or rumors. I know Sam from iUpdate was talking about how maybe that would happen, but you know,
yeah, there
those
wasn't
rumors
much.
Happen all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so we woke up and there was new iPads. We're like, oh, wow, we got a new iPad refresh. Woo!
Two.
And we're looking around
two
the
new
website.
iPads.
Oh, yeah, two. Yeah, Mini and the Air 3. But we're like, oh, well, they didn't update. No Air Power. They didn't update the iPod Touch. They didn't update the iPhone.
Like,
no
yeah, AirPods. This is kind of small.
I know. This it's just like, a big oh, deal. Well, I guess maybe they're saving it for a Monday event, which this will be released on that day. So for all of you who have already watched the Monday event, you know what's happening in the Monday event. Exciting.
Right. Get it up on Sunday night, if possible.
Yeah, okay. We'll do.
if possible.
Yeah. That's going to be dependent on Randy. Anyway, so we were all kind of slightly disappointed on Monday, but it still took up my entire news feed in my entire
iPad, nonstop iPads exactly. Everywhere.
Yeah. And then the next morning, the website went down again and the internet kind of just froze. Like, what is happening?
Wait,
and
the
new iMacs were released and we're like, oh. Maybe they like forgot, like, you know, maybe they maybe
they
like
forgot
they,
some.
They're like reviewing the slide deck. Tim Cook's sitting there behind the stage, like getting ready for the slides the next week. And he's like, wait a minute. We don't have any. We're the iMacs. We needed to
Oh, we don't have any pictures of the iMac for the slides? Oh, okay, just refresh the website. Like, that's what I thought was happening.
We're like, oh, shoot. Wait a minute.
Yeah. So it took up the entire news cycle again for iMacs. And everyone's talking about, you know, they're not the best upgrade. No external redesign. But, you know, decent CPU bump and decent.
They've looked the same for the past 6 years.
Yep, exactly. They haven't
looked any different.
The iMac Pro got its,
256 gigs of RAM, plus a new GPU. Would you ever use that, Sundar?
No.
Or is that overkill?
That's a bit overkill. I have 32 gigs in my rig, and I am using about 10.
So you're the one person who could tell me at any time how much RAM you're using.
Yeah, I have a RAM.
You could just tell me.
Monitor.
I use a Mac, and I could not tell you that.
Gigabytes.
I could not just look at my iMac Pro and be like, I have 32 gigs of RAM and I'm using this much. You just know that. It's amazing.
He has actually a new Apple implant that, you know, is in his brain and just refreshes his memory every single second with
using. That's impressive.
Yeah. So anyway, we got the new iMacs and
there's
a bunch of coverage over it and everyone was kind of like, okay, cool. And then Wednesday
you can
morning,
now spend $15,000 on a computer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm sure. So actually, while we're talking about it, the new iMac price legitimized my belief that the top end modular 2019 Mac Pro is going to be $30,000.
No.
Yes.
I disagree. Yes. It will not.
Between $25,000 and $30,000. 512 gigabytes of RAM has been confirmed through your source.
Are you talking about the maxed out version?
Maxed out, 100%.
Oh, okay.
All
no,
the
you
GPUs,
got a you got a point.
Yeah, all
I
the
thought
GPUs,
you were talking about the starting price.
No, the starting price will probably be like, you know, $2,000 for just the brain or whatever, you know, base brain.
Yeah, yeah.
But
Intel i3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. No, they're gonna put a Core M3 in there. It really
they're just
affordable.
Put an A11 chip.
A so iPod Touch CPU.
Yeah. So anyway, that was Tuesday, and then Wednesday morning, the website went down again, and then at that point,
Everyone was like, oh my God, the entire internet was just like,
our internet brains just exploded. Like, what
Wednesday
is going? What are they going to release?
The biggest days for one because Tim Cook announced AirPods via meme.
Yes,
and that was fantastic, and also because three days in a row. We were convinced now that we were going to get a new website refresh like every day. We were like, oh man, it's not stopping. They're just going to keep going, keep going, keep going. Sadly, it ended there. But
I know, but that was smart of them. So here's my thought process on that.
Okay.
So Wednesday, we get AirPods 2, right? Hashtag, if you didn't order yours, you know, broke pods. That's a funny joke. Also, Randy, who's normally on this podcast, but isn't.
Oh my God.
Yeah, he isn't. Gosh, Randy. Anyway, he went like all over the internet. He was like on Bloomberg and Mashable and I don't remember what other tech publications.
He was trending.
He was trending. Oh, that
he was
that
number
so
one
popular.
Trending on Twitter and on YouTube and on Facebook
and on MySpace. Number
Everything.
One trending. Yeah, exactly.
He
anyway,
was trending.
Yeah. So anyway, that was Wednesday. I ordered my AirPods and I was very excited. And then we're
Me
waiting
as well.
Wednesday night. We're like, okay, what are we going to get Wednesday? What are we going to get Thursday morning? Wednesday night, we're doing our speculation. Well, what do we still have left? We have Air Power. That's a big one. And the iPod Touch. Well, let's see. We have Thursday and Friday left in the week. This is perfect. It has to line up, right? Come on.
Nope. We were convinced.
Thursday morning went by. No update.
That was a sad morning.
Yeah, it was a sad morning. But that meant that Friday, we were all sitting around like, well, maybe.
So tomorrow, you know.
Do both.
Tomorrow is going to be something.
So I think it was really smart of them. Apple basically got an entire week worth of news covers. Now, an iPhone update doesn't even get a whole week of news coverage. Like, you announce an iPhone XS, like, you know, it's an S upgrade. So automatically it doesn't get as much news attention. But, I thought it was really smart of them to kind of space it all out and build the hype. So I liked it. I enjoyed every second of it.
I wish they did that more often.
Absolutely.
And it makes me convinced now that there will not be any hardware at the March event.
Yeah.
Probably not at all.
Hashtag wear power.
Yeah, maybe air power. Do you understand any of the interest in air power, Sundar? Or is it like mind-boggling to you that anyone's interested?
I guess it seems kind of a little bit more convenient. I like my kind of more metal back on my phone.
Oh, really? Like, you don't like the glass?
I don't know. I think it's a reasonable idea. I would actually like real wireless charging.
Yeah.
You know, oh, like over the air?
Just like literally just have like something that I just set up in a room and it just gives power to everything all the time. That'd be cool.
Oh, yeah.
But until then.
No, I'd love that too.
It would also give you cancer.
It also, you know, probably electrocute you.
Well, that's if we released it now, obviously. Like, we can send power over the air. It's just not safe. But the challenge all the tech companies are still trying to figure out is how do you send power over the air safely? You know, once they figure that out, they'll probably start implementing it.
You use a little piece of copper inside of some shielding. That's how you send power over the air
safely. With a wire. It's very simple. But over the air charging. But the cable goes through the air.
Ooh.
No, I still think air power is kind of stupid.
So, Drew, what are you looking forward to at this event on Monday, which people might have already
Not much, seen. Honestly.
Are you gonna get
am not crazy
service?
About the movie streaming service. I'll definitely get there will be a 3-month trial, I'm sure. Where you can use it for free for 3 months, and I'll sign up for that and see how often I use it. But ultimately, like, my deciding factor when it comes to streaming services is not what company made it. That has nothing to do with the streaming service. Like, if I pay for Netflix, if I pay for Hulu or Prime Video, it's because there's shows or movies on there that I regularly am watching, and that's why I pay for Hulu and Netflix, is because like Netflix has The Office and Parks and Rec and Portlandia and the Stranger Things, and there's a lot of Black Mirror. There's a ton of stuff on Netflix I watch and I want to be able to watch as soon as new episodes come out. So that's why I pay for Netflix. I didn't get Netflix because it's Netflix, like because it's from a certain company. And with Hulu, there's a ton of shows over there my wife likes that I enjoy watching with her, like TLC shows and The Mick, and there's documentaries on there we watch a ton of, and old movies like I think Seinfeld's on Hulu. I think Survivor, all 30 seasons of Survivor.
Oh, wow.
On Hulu. So we have a ton of nostalgia on that side, but I didn't get it because it's Hulu. I got it because it has the content. So I don't get all the people in live streams and stuff or on Twitter that ask me like, so Drew, are you going to get the Apple streaming service? It's like, I don't know what's on it. I can't tell. I'm not going to get it just because it's Apple. You know, that's not a good reason for me to pay, because it's probably going to cost like $15 a month. So that's a big chunk of money every single month just to designate 15. Because
Drew,
it's Apple.
This is Apple. It's not going to be 15.
Well, that's what leaks are saying. I'm guessing
it's going to be at least double what you think.
It's right? going to be That's $30 a month.
Well, YouTube TV is 40, right?
YouTube TV.
Yeah, but they're
is
not
40.
Doing that. This is the YouTube TV is not the same as Hulu.
Well, what
or
if
Netflix.
They have Beats One Live?
Oh like God! How many people do you think are listening to Beats One Live? I bet it's in
Three.
The under 100. I bet you.
But it's the biggest online internet radio station.
I legit guarantee you Beats One is probably like 20 people listening in the world. There's
so
no way that many people. The Talos of Tech podcast gets more viewers than Beats One Radio. I guarantee it. I can promise you that.
Well,
but
yeah.
Still. No, I need to know what content's on it. That's basically it. Are you planning on getting it regardless, or?
I think I'll probably try it out. I don't have much time in my life to consume content. Like, I have Netflix. I pay $8. I think they just raised their prices or something. $8, $9, $10 or something for Netflix.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And like, I literally don't use it at all. Like,
it's a waste.
I watched Parks and Rec probably like I watched like 3 or 4 episodes of Parks and Rec like 2 weeks ago, and like
sure
I was like, do I really need Netflix? I don't know. And so I don't know, I'll probably still do not. Netflix, but I don't have time to consume content. What do you think, Sumner? Would you get it?
I have even less time to consume content.
You code your own TV shows.
Ooh, it's just a simple script. It's barely an inconvenience. It took like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I honestly, especially this past couple weeks, it's been midterms and everything. I haven't had no time.
Well, I appreciate you making time for us.
Well, yes, it's spring break now, so everything's fine.
Oh, good, good. Okay.
So, which means if Apple releases their streaming content service on Monday, you'll have a whole week of spring break to get your $40 a month worth out of it, right? It'll be perfect.
Use that free trial.
Spring break doesn't mean that I stop doing school. It just means that school doesn't start coming in for a week.
So you got to catch up.
Yep.
Got time to catch up on everything. Yeah. I got you. Yeah, I don't. There was a rumor this morning that said if you had Apple Care, they would throw in the Apple movie streaming.
Ooh, sweet.
Which means I don't. And Sweeney, I assume you get Apple Care. Or
yeah, I actually have something to say about that. Last night, I don't know if you saw my tweet. I did see it.
I'm sad to hear about this.
Yeah, so I opened up my phone last night. It was just sitting on my bed. I'd used it like 5 minutes before. I was on my iPad, typing on my iPad. And I picked up my phone, and my phone, it raised awake. It went to the unlock screen. But instead of just doing the Face ID thing, it brought up the password. And like sometimes, Face ID turns on randomly because it thinks the screen's on. And it's like for 4 or 5 times it can't find you. And then it's just like, enter your password. I couldn't find you. It's like, I just thought, I guess that's what that is. And as I was entering my 18-digit passcode, because it's super convenient, I noticed up above, it said, Face ID unavailable. Please go to settings to find out more information. And I was like, whoa, what is that? I've never seen that.
That's not
so
good.
As soon as I opened it, I got a pop-up that was like, it said, Face ID is not working. Click settings. Mm-hmm. So I went there, and then settings had a link to an Apple support page. And evidently, my iPhone did some kind of self-diagnostics and realized that Face ID wasn't working right. And so it just stopped working. So didn't let Face ID work.
That's not good.
And so, yeah, I was like, oh, this is weird. And so it's like, the only thing we can do is set up a Genius Bar appointment. So it's like, okay, crap. Like, there wasn't like any, try restarting your device. Try updating the software. Like, there wasn't any of that. It was just like, go to the Genius Bar.
And you didn't drop it or anything?
No, it was just sitting on, it was working. Like, I'd unlocked it, like, probably, 3 or 4 times while I was just in bed, typing.
Yikes.
And then I set it down and picked it back up and it wasn't working. So it did some kind of diagnostic or something.
That sucks.
I know, yeah.
You have the worst luck with Apple products.
I know. So it's like, well, luckily I have Apple Care, right? Because, like, I was expecting I'd just walk into the Apple store tomorrow and my appointment because, I know all the people there. Heck, they gave me a new iPad.
That's your family.
Been like, yeah, they are my family, actually. Thank you. I was born at the Apple store.
Yeah. So I went home. Yeah.
Yep. So I went home and so I was just assuming that they're just going to give me a new one. But I scheduled an appointment and it wasn't working for about 2 hours and then it just started working again. And so it's still working, and I haven't been able to
communicate
the issue, so I'm debating whether
that's
or not
so weird.
If I should go into the Apple store, because I know the Genius is just going to be like, well, I haven't witnessed the issue, so I can't give you a new phone.
You can show them the screenshots, right?
Yeah, no, I can show them the screenshots all day long, but he'll just be like, yep, well, it's working now. Sorry.
It's like a doctor.
Yeah.
Seems okay now.
You don't have any cancer now.
It's missing. Yeah. It's gone missing. Well, I'm glad it's working now. That's good to hear. But I've heard of that happening. I think that happened to Austin Evans, who's related to Sundar.
Interesting.
But different Evans.
No, actually, they're cousins.
Oh.
Sumner and Austin. Both the Evans.
Dang. Impressive.
No. I'm kidding.
He's just like, full disclosure, no. You could probably build a PC better than he could.
Is the new MacBook worth it? You tell me in the comments below.
Is 3L worth it?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
This is the most publicity that 3L will have gotten ever.
Oh good, they should pay us.
Hashtag 3L. Spread the word, people. Spread the word. We're wasting our time typing on these stupid QWERTY keys.
It's better than a password on your computer. because even a hacker could figure out the password.
That's right. They'll
never figure it out, though.
Can't steal your phone if they don't know how to use it. Brilliant. Brilliant. No. Well, I ordered on Monday, I ordered the new iPad mini because I'm interested in trying that thing out. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because now that it has Apple Pencil support and the A12, which was complete overkill for me,
yeah.
I'm interested in trying that out because I have a old iPad mini 1 and I just used it briefly the other day and I was like, this is totally a different experience than my iPad Pro. Like using an iPad at that screen size feels more like a laptop almost because you got this big screen, you're managing lots of different apps on it, and condensing all that down to a 7.9-inch display, and you can use it in one hand. The keyboard, when you type on it, feels more like typing on an iPhone than it does, except you're on the iPad, so you have the split-screen support, and you have picture-in-picture, and you have all the benefits of an iPad, but with that portability. So I was like, I got to try this out at its full capacity. Yeah. I want to try this with a...
My first iOS device was an iPad mini.
The first one?
Long time ago, yeah. iPad mini, 16 gigabytes, slate gray. Oof. Yep.
Nice.
It was my first Apple product.
That was the one that you dropped on your driveway, right?
Sumner.
Oh, no. And then Face ID stopped working on it.
Oh. Yes,
to
I
be
did,
fair,
actually.
It was never there. However, it stopped working.
It did stop working. Yeah, lots of things stopped working after it fell face flat. Like, I even had a keyboard case on that thing. Like, I wrapped my... I can't remember if I've told people on the show. Like, I had my iPad mini inside of a keyboard case. And it's like the keyboard case folded up on the screen, so like it was protected.
Okay.
And I wrapped my headphones, like my AirPods or earpods, around the iPad. It's like it was kind of like locked. Like you wouldn't think that it would come undone. But I dropped it, but I was still holding like the little bud end of the... of the cape of my earpods, and so as it fell, it unraveled, and the centripetal force of it unraveling opened up the keyboard case, and it just landed flat in the gravel. And I was just
"That's not good."
Yikes! Like I called Apple, and it was like $250 for them to fix it. It was like three. The whole device wasn't worth $350. I was like, "Well, rip."
Yeah, probably not. But
then I sent it to Lewis Rossman, and he fixed it for me.
Oh, great. No. Thank you, Lewis. Well, you said earlier on a podcast that you were planning on getting an updated iPad mini. Has that plan changed because of the Y word?
I
want
to try yours. I want to. So, like next weekend, I'm probably going to steal it for a little while. So, you better get your use out of it before I show up.
By a little while, I mean permanently. I'm just stealing it. No, but yeah, I think it'll deliver while you'll be up here. So
you'll
get to be there for the iPad unboxing and the AirPods unboxing, and there'll be plenty to unbox.
So I don't know. When I said that I was going to get an iPad mini, I was not thinking very minimally. And I think as I've gotten, like, I'm in the process of moving right now. And I've gotten rid of probably, I don't know, 60 to 80% of my junk. And so, like, I don't have much anymore. And it's
I'm
kind
doing
of
the same
freeing.
Thing.
And I really, I know. Yeah. And it's kind of just a freeing feeling being like, you know, all of my possessions will fit into the back of my car. Like, it feels very,
I can't say that.
Well, you know, I honestly don't know where I'm, you know, whatever. It's interesting. Living situation is interesting for me right now. But anyway, it's just freeing. And I'm like, I don't think I need another iPad. Like, my iPad Pro feels just fine, and so I'm gonna try yours out. Maybe yours will change my mind. But also, I think the fact that it uses Apple Pencil 1 is just a sin against humanity. Like, Apple. Tim Apple, we need to talk right now. This is very important. Apple Pencil 1 is one of the worst products you've made. I know. I used it and I loved it and I defended its charging method. But when compared to Apple Pencil 2, there's no comparison. Yeah. Come on, Tim Apple.
You can't beat that charging method.
No.
Of the Apple Pencil 2, which is legitimately good. I agree. But it is, I think, as of now, the iPad Pro is still very new and I can see that it's a pro feature. And to save money, they have to use the crappy charge method. But I agree with you. The Apple Pencil 1 is not great.
I have one.
Oh, really?
Says the guy with a Pixel and Pixel Buds.
I have an iPad Pro, okay? And it is extremely inconvenient. It's not.
Yes. Agreed.
No.
I am looking forward to Apple Pencil 3, because Apple Pencil 2, if you tap it wrong, like, it just kind of like jumps off the iPad. And really? That can be kind of dangerous. I was in an auditorium, and the floors were slanted towards the stage, and I was kind of in the middle, and I tapped like my iPad wrong somehow, and the Apple Pencil like jumped over the next row of chairs, landed on the ground, and started rolling down to the stage. And I was just like, crap. Never see that again. But then at the end of the service, I went down and claimed my property.
Well, I haven't had that happen. I did have my first Apple Pencil 2 just stop working. And I stopped by an Apple store, and they just handed me a brand new one right then and there. No Apple Care or anything. They were just like, here you go. And it works. That replacement one has worked just fine. So I'm not sure what caused that first one to malfunction. But overall, I would rather have the Apple Pencil 2 malfunction and replace it, because that charging and docking method is so much simpler.
Yeah, it is very much simpler. Love it. Yeah.
Hoping that'll come to cheaper iPads someday. Hopefully next year.
Yeah, Tim Apple, get on that.
Get on it, Tim.
We're waiting for you.
Well,
actually, before we close out, we still have one more thing we need to do.
We have one more thing. What's that?
One more thing. Well, we haven't invited Marquez onto our podcast yet. Come on, Marquez. We know that Marquez listens to us. That's the crazy part. And I'm starting to feel like maybe we're just getting too cringy. And, you know, maybe he just doesn't like us because we're begging. You know that thing when, like, you want something so bad, you don't get it, that we're in that position right now. So Sumner and I were thinking about this, and I don't know how many of you remember these old Dish TV ads.
I think it's DirecTV, actually.
DirecTV.
Oh, okay.
They had these ads that were like TV ads, and there were about 10 of them. That we'll post a link in the show notes, so just scroll down on the podcast player, and you'll see a link to a little compilation video. And, and these little ads basically took something mundane, and if you didn't do it, you know, switching to DirecTV, they escalated it. They gave you a chain of events that just escalated quickly, and it left the viewer just like, oh, I guess I better switch to DirecTV. Yeah. So anyway, Sumner wrote one of those for Marquez. So
oh, wonderful.
Hit it, Sumner. It wasn't long enough to make it a Saturday short, so I think we'll just
That's fine. Go ahead.
Marquez. When you don't come on the Talos of Tech podcast with Nick, he feels sad. When Nick feels sad, he texts me about feeling sad. When Nick texts me about feeling sad, I start feeling sad. When I start feeling sad, I start to question the meaning of life. When I start questioning the meaning of life, I decide to go live on a remote island in the Pacific with no internet. When I decide to go live on a remote island in the middle of the Pacific with no internet, you lose a viewer of your videos. When you lose a viewer of your videos, it becomes a chain reaction. When it becomes a chain reaction, your channel goes downhill. When your channel goes downhill, you go broke. When you go broke, you end up out on the street. Don't end up out on the street. Get on the Talos of Tech podcast. Call 1-800-TALOS of Tech now.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. That's right, Marquez. Don't end up on the streets. We're looking out for your best interest.
I mean, Marquez will always have Apollo there with him, so, you know.
That's
we,
true.
We know that he'll be okay. But don't end out on the streets. Come on the podcast. Please, come on the podcast.
That was great, you guys. Thank you. Thank you. You're very welcome. Much. All righty. Well, thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Sundar, for joining us till we meet again. And we will see you all, guys, next week after the Monday event. Hopefully, Air Power's out by the next podcast.
Air Power. Yes, Air Power. Lots of Air Power. Think Air Power. Bye, thoughts, everybody. Everyone.
Think Air Power-y. Bye-bye.